Welcome to the Not Old Better Show. I'm your host, Paul Vogelsang. We've got a fantastic show today, and I'm excited to begin. On January 15th, 2009, the world witnessed the miracle on the Hudson when Captain Sully Sullenberger, then age 57, glided his disabled plane onto the frigid waters of the Hudson River, saving the lives of all 155 aboard. However, even as Sully was being heralded by the public and the media for his unprecedented feat of aviation skill, an investigation was unfolding that threatened to destroy his reputation and his career. Let me, with the help of ABC News' Charles Gibson, set the stage a bit for you.
Good afternoon. I'm Charles Gibson at ABC News headquarters in New York. There is an airplane down in the Hudson River right off Manhattan.
That airplane, of course, was piloted by Captain Sully Sullenberger. The new film, Sully, from Warner Brothers, is directed by Clint Eastwood and starring Tom Hanks as Sully, with Aaron Eckhart, Laura Linney, Anna Gunn, Walt's wife from Breaking Bad, Jerry Ferreira, Entourage fame, and even Katie Couric, and will be in theaters September 9th, 2016. Reputation, life, future, everything was recalibrated in 3 minutes. 3 minutes. That's about how long Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger had to land his plane in the Hudson River after hitting a flock of birds above New York City. He did this with such skill that he landed the plane directly across from the New York ferry boat terminal in Midtown Manhattan. Within moments of the plane's landing on the river, 5 ferry boats were on the scene, immediately ferrying passengers to their boats and to safety. Police divers were present. People were in the water. It was a dangerous situation. And thank goodness Captain Sullenberger was there that day, piloting that flight. According to witnesses, Captain Sullenberger walked up and down the aisles of the plane twice, making certain that no one was left behind. This was an event like no other on a day like no other.
And I think it also happened at a time in the world's history when people needed good news. They were searching for reasons to feel hopeful again, and they wanted to be reassured that people could be competent and that good could be done.
Again, let me set this up a bit more for you. It was 3:27 in the afternoon. An air traffic controller sitting in a room 20 miles from LaGuardia Airport is guiding at least 3 planes out of New York's airspace, including...
1549-700, climbing 5,000.
That's Captain Chesley Sullenberger taking his plane up to about 5,000 feet. Throughout the recording, the flight is referred to as Cactus 1549. Cactus is the call sign for U.S. Airways because it's based in Arizona. The controller wants the plane to head west, sending it off to the final destination of Charlotte, North Carolina, when we hear about the birds.
Cactus 1549, turn left heading 270.
This is Cactus 1539, hit birds, so you've lost thrust on both pitches, returning back towards LaGuardia.
Okay, you need to return to LaGuardia. Turn left heading up 220.
220.
The only sign that perhaps Captain Sullenberger isn't as calm as he sounds is that he gave the wrong number for his flight, calling it 39 instead of 49. As the tension mounts, they'll make this mistake more often. The departure controller calls the tower at LaGuardia to warn them.
Tower, stop your departure. He's got emergency returning. It's 1529. Bird strike. He lost all engine. He lost the thrust in the engines. He's returning immediately.
Cactus 1529. Which engines?
He lost thrust in both engines, he said.
Got it.
But after only a minute, it's already too late to turn back to LaGuardia. When offered a runway, Captain Sullenberger says... just one word.
Unable.
Back in the tower at LaGuardia, the search for the aircraft has begun.
Okay, what do you need to land?
What's over to our right? Anything in New Jersey? Maybe Teterboro?
Okay, yeah, off your right side is Teterboro Airport.
The plane is now over the Hudson River approaching the George Washington Bridge. You hear Teterboro mentioned. Teterboro is a small airport in New Jersey. In that control tower, there's a question about whether they can handle a plane this heavy.
Yeah, well, he's going to land here, so he's falling down right now. He's coming in, he's going to land.
All right, have you rolled the truck?
I'm going in, calling the trucks now.
Those are the emergency trucks. But now the plane is too low to make it back to New Jersey.
Cactus 1529, turn right 280. You can land runway 1 at Teterboro.
We can't do it.
Okay, which runway would you like at Teterboro?
We're going to be in the Hudson.
I'm sorry, say again, Cactus.
There was no answer from flight 1549. The plane's off the radar. The regional air traffic controller finally shows a bit of emotion as he gets back to helping the other planes.
All right, departure. We're stopped on departure, runway 4.
What they don't know is that helicopters along the west side of Manhattan have been watching the whole landing and narrating it on another frequency.
Get me a police department helicopter if you got one on your frequency.
Say again?
Get me a police department helicopter if you got one on your frequency right now.
We'll have one now. We'll make a call.
You get anybody. You send them right over to the Lincoln Tunnel. We had a Cactus Airbus go down in the water.
I got it. Okay.
Okay.
Going down. In the water.
It appears that they are deploying their RAS right now.
If there was any amazement at the landing or the fact that everyone survived, you don't hear it on these recordings that I got directly from the FAA. There are other planes to land, and the controllers calmly go back to business. All 155 passengers were rescued as the plane drifted down to the river toward the south edge of Manhattan. Sullenberger, again 57, an Air Force veteran with more than 40 years of flying experience, told FAA investigators he glided the plane into the river rather than risk crashing into a densely populated area. Welcome to the Not Old Better Show, Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger, author of the book Highest Duty and subject of the new movie Sully from Warner Brothers.
Thanks for having me. Good to be here.
That is just an amazing story. All of that happened then, but let's go back a few years, if you will. And let me just point out, too, it's kind of a personal tie-in. My father is Air Force. He never flew. He was a doctor and a talented guy. You graduated from the Air Force Academy in 1969, and your senior year, you were named top flyer. We know, of course, from news reports and everything else, how talented you are. But tell us what it took to get there, not only to get there that day on January 15th, 2009, but tell us what it took to get there in the academy with all the talent that was there at the academy.
It wasn't that I was all that good. It's just that I did so much of it. I think I figured out later I flew nearly 1,000 hours my 4 years as a student at the academy. So I think that and the fact that I'd done parachuting and some other things pushed me over the limit to be named Outstanding Cadet that year, which was a real honor.
We just listened to a bit of the actual air traffic controller radio chatter between Flight 1549, your flight, referred to as Cactus, and you're heard confidently saying, but with urgency, we're going to go into the river. Tell us a little bit about that.
It was really the first time in my flying career I had had a flight that I significantly doubted the successful outcome initially.
I want to play just a minute of the interview that you and Clint Eastwood did. Clint Eastwood, of course, the director of the movie Sully. You and he talked a little bit about the NTSB FAA investigation, a little bit about this kind of undercurrent of maybe some distrust, your confidence, which we'll get into in just a second. But let's listen to this, and then I want to talk about that forced water landing.
Miracle on the Hudson. That was kind of a good omen in a bad period.
And it happened 100 seconds after takeoff. We lost thrust in both engines. It was a life-changing event for everyone on the airplane. The NTSB investigation, which is a big part of the story that people don't know.
Until I read the script, I didn't know the investigative board was trying to paint the picture that he had done the wrong thing. They were kind of railroading him into his fault, and that wasn't the case at all. There's something about a near miss like that that makes you appreciate life as you have it.
What gave you the confidence to do this type of landing? Again, you refer to this in the book, and I've heard this in interviews, a forced water landing.
Believe it or not, the only training we'd ever gotten for a water landing was a theoretical classroom discussion.
As the film suggests, many questioned your decision, impugning your character almost, which must have been galling. But what went through your mind as you quickly, I mean, you were only at about 2,800 feet, I believe. What went through your mind to kind of come to this analysis about the landing?
Well, we had a checklist, but it wasn't a good fit for this. The checklist that the manufacturer Airbus and the airline gave us to you was a three-page checklist designed to be used at high altitude when we have nearly half an hour to get all the way through this troubleshooting process, this step-by-step checklist. We didn't have time for that. We got through the first page, and I thought we were doing pretty well to do that.
And the landing. This forced water landing, you refer to this in the book, Highest Duty, and we'll get to your now famous captain's words to the passengers in just a moment. But what did you think about the impact coming from an Airbus A320 family aircraft with a maximum landing weight of over 146,000 pounds or 73 tons slapping down hard against the cold Hudson River that January day?
I knew at the outset there were only three possibilities. There were only two runways even remotely near us that might be possible. LaGuardia, from which we had departed, but at that point we were still headed directly away from and now descending rapidly with no engine thrust. We're using gravity to provide the forward motion of the airplane. Teterboro, across the river in New Jersey, and the only other place in the entire New York metropolitan area, one of the most densely developed and populated areas on the planet, where landing a large jet airliner might be possible that was wide enough, long enough, smooth enough, was the Hudson River.
And what do you remember most about that water landing?
We were coming down very rapidly, equivalent to descending in a hotel elevator 2 floors per second. So I knew it was going to be a hard landing. I just didn't know how hard.
Okay, so now about that announcement.
I had time to make only one announcement, and before I made what I knew would be the most important announcement of my life, I chose my words very carefully. So I used the term brace in my announcement because I wanted to give the passengers and crew alike a vivid image, a word picture of what to expect. And I said, "This is the captain, brace for impact." And so then through the cockpit door, I could hear the flight attendants in front. Brace, brace, heads down, stay down.
Brace, 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 heads down, stay down. Brace, 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 heads down, stay down.
Getting back to your confidence, you really knew in your heart that these 155 souls, your crew, all of the passengers, yourself, you'd all be saved.
I still feel what I felt that day when I say those words. Hearing those words gave me confidence. It reassured me. It comforted me. I knew then that if I could find a way to deliver the aircraft to the surface intact, it would float long enough for us to be rescued.
When did you come to terms with the trauma that occurred on that day?
I think that's one of the things that people find most surprising, is that we weren't all just ecstatic and celebrating right away. I couldn't sleep more than 45 minutes at a time for the first couple of nights. I didn't return to a normal sleep pattern for many months. I didn't come back to work for over 6 months until I had processed all this. And everybody lived. And we weren't in combat. This was in peacetime.
Throughout the time immediately following your landing, what you refer to in the film and elsewhere as this forced water landing on the Hudson River in New York City, and since that time, including in your book, Highest Duty, you've been attentive, meticulous almost, and beyond conscientious about thanking your crew, Jeff Skiles, Doreen Walsh, Sheila Dale, and Donna Dent.
And that's important. This obviously required much teamwork, and not only on the part of my crew, but the admirable behavior of the passengers during the evacuation and the rescue. And of course, can't say enough about New York Waterway, whose ferries were there in less than 4 minutes, and they took almost all the passengers off, and of course, other first responders, New York police, fire, the Coast Guard, many people contributed to this. As I say in the book, it was as if all of New York and New Jersey were opening their arms to us.
Not to get overly dramatic here, Captain Sullenberger, but I wonder if you have any better idea, and certainly what happens on a plane when over the intercom system, we as passengers hear, this is your captain speaking.
Yes, I do, and I try to learn from each flight. And when I flew and was reunited with Jeffrey Skiles back in October, we flew from Charlotte to New York and from New York to Charlotte. And on the first flight, I did announce, "This is Captain Sullenberger." And on the second flight, I learned from the first flight and waited about 4 or 5 seconds.
This is just such a great story, and now a movie, of course, Sully. But it's lived on and on since that time, right?
One of the biggest surprises for us on the crew early on was that we assumed that this story would just run its course, the news cycle would be complete, and after a few days or weeks, people would be on to the next thing, and that simply hasn't happened.
Personally, there's a lot in the movie about your marriage, and your wife is wonderfully played by Laura Linney, but without going into too many specifics, you're candid that the life of an airline pilot can test a marriage.
Oh, absolutely. I think that's true for a lot of professions where there are separations, where there's a lot of travel involved. And that's only become more so since the economic tsunami has hit all airline employees, certainly beginning with the 2001 terror attacks, airline bankruptcies, pension terminations, loss of pay, changes in work rules. We're all working harder and longer than we used to. So I've missed half or two-thirds of my children's lives. And I think all these life-changing events that happen so suddenly put great stress on one's relationship. I think sometimes it pushes people away, and sometimes it can make them cling to each other and make them stronger. Sometimes a bit of both, depending upon the day.
I mentioned that my dad was U.S. Air Force, and although not a pilot, we always, as a family, and even today with my family, we fly, and we fly a lot. And I see passengers do crazy things. You know, they'll bring on tons of food. They'll argue with the flight crew, the attendants, and, you know, it gets a little tense. So what can we as passengers learn to do better?
I think that if our passengers would just remember that the flight attendants really are there primarily for their safety, and that they review safety procedures all the time to take care of the passengers no matter what may occur, and that the pilots are there to exercise great care on every flight and to make each flight as comfortable as possible. I think if they start out with that appreciation and that awareness, it's a great help. And then just pay attention and take responsibility for your own safety.
Well, again, Captain Chesley Sully Sullenberger, thanks for your thoughts on this amazing experience. As I mentioned, we're including a link to an excerpt from Captain Sullenberger's book, Highest Duty, from which the new film from Warner Brothers, Sully, is based. Captain Sullenberger, thank you.
My pleasure.
Thanks to all my guests today, all the help on the podcast, and especially to Media Studio Edit and the great work by Wayne Brown and his team for editing the podcast and making me sound so much better. That is to say, not old, but better. Thanks to all.